and welcome to the Kids Planet podcast.
An opportunity to explore the highs and lows of raising under fives. Here are your hosts from the Kids Planet marketing team.
So hello and welcome to this Mother's podcast. We're joined today by our CEO, Claire Roberts, who is dedicated to supporting and advocating for the early years sector and to help us dissect all things funded childcare. So hi, Claire.
Hi there.
How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Are you all ready for Christmas?
Getting there. I've got three daughters, so quite a lot of preparation goes in to try and get to meet their demands at Christmas time.
Yeah, I bet. We've got a bit of snow as well, haven't we? So it's quite nice.
Yeah, I know.
Lovely. So funded-wise, back in March in the budget, the government announced an increase in childcare support to be rolled out in stages. So working parents in England will be able to access 30 hours of subsidised childcare per week for 38 weeks of the year, from when their child is 9 months to when they start school. And a spokesperson from the DfE previously said this announcement represented the single biggest investment in childcare in England ever. So do you agree with that? And what do you think are the main positives you think that will come from it?
I do agree. It's a significant investment by the government and how it's been worded by the DfE. I think some of the things that obviously took time for people to dissect the way through was actually that they were making an announcement that was going to be rolled out over a 2-year period. Mm. Because immediately after the announcement had been made, we had parents with young children phoning up to book places. And obviously we've then had to explain to them that it isn't an instantaneous element with funded childcare. Mm. I think it will help parents in terms of affordability. One of the biggest problems, though, is that the funded side that's been given to the earlier sats by the government has been totally underfunded for years and years and years. It hasn't taken into account at all living wage, the way it's been ramped up over the last number of years. Mm. It hasn't taken into account inflation. So, yes, there is an investment in terms of extending funded hours out to children under three for families over a 2.5-year period, but it still isn't really properly covering what the real costs are of delivering high quality early years care and education.
No, definitely. And we'll touch base on that a bit further on, actually. But maybe we could start by a brief kind of introduction, if that would be okay, into the current and upcoming funding that's available.
Yeah. So funding has existed for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been 15 or 30 hours for children who are three and above for a number of years. 30 hours is available to children for the 38 weeks of the year who have parents who work, and 15 hours is available to children whose parents don't work. Mm-hmm. And then 2-year funding has been around a number of years, but it's existed to a really small group of children, either children who have special educational needs or children from specific, maybe more deprived backgrounds have been able to access funding. And there's other criteria that sits within that, but it's been a real small number of two-year-old children that have been funded, and that's only at 15 hours currently as well. So that's how it's been, and it's been for a number of years. Most families tend to access funding stretched over 52 weeks of the year, mm-hmm. because for most families that work, they don't only work 38 weeks of the year. There's also stipulations in the funding of how many hours you can utilise in a day.
Yeah.
So the thing that not a lot of people are aware of is, yes, the funding comes from the government and from the DfE, but the local authorities have their own guidance that can be unique and can have slight different interpretations in it. So the funding currently covers up to 10 hours a day. It doesn't cover food. It doesn't cover consumables. Mm-hmm. It covers the basic levels of care and education, which obviously in settings, there's an awful lot more that cost that is related to that. So
yeah, that's true. And obviously with April 2024, the new 15 hours are coming in. A lot of parents are curious to what that will really look like for them, how they could spread that out, for example. Do you have any examples of how that could work for
So part of the problem with the funding is we rely on the local authorities to share with us what rate we're going to get, which differs across all different local authorities, and also B, what those terms are. So we obviously know currently how funding works, with 30 hours being stretched or 15 hours being stretched for the majority of parents over 52 weeks of the year. But at this moment in time, we haven't had any definitive guidance from any local authorities. People are talking about it.
Right.
But there is nothing yet that's set in stone that enables anyone in the early years sector to properly model how that's going to look, which is really difficult for us as providers, but also for parents. So from April, the majority of children will be eligible for 15 hours funding for a child that's two or above. Mm-hmm. And obviously for parents, we are going to be offering that because it is a benefit to them. But it's basically, we need to wait and see exactly what the government says we can do with that. So most parents tend to prefer it being stretched because it means they don't have 14 weeks of really high bills.
Yeah.
So that's in an ideal world, which we'd be looking to do. But we obviously have to wait and see. So it's really difficult because we're trying to communicate to parents that we will be accessing and making the funding available. But it's really difficult because as well, parents often think it's free. And it's trying to explain to parents exactly what it does cover and what it doesn't cover, but also to explain that it's 38 weeks of the year, because most people get maybe 5 weeks holiday a year, which means that obviously they want funding all year round.
Yeah, because we like to remind people that it is funded or subsidised childcare rather than free childcare.
Yeah.
Why would you say the reasons for that are that we're kind of saying it's not free?
Because it doesn't include the things we've talked about. Mm-hmm. It doesn't include meals. It doesn't include consumables. Yeah. It doesn't include anything over and above very, very basic levels of care and education. And obviously in our nurseries and in the majority of the early years sector, an awful lot more is provided. And I think it's obviously like parents understand that when they access the 3-year funding, and local authorities understand what it covers and what it doesn't as well. But it's just sometimes headlines in newspapers can be really misleading as to what it really means. And particularly in my first example earlier on, when I talked about the fact that everyone thought they could have it from the day after it had been announced.
Yeah.
It wasn't clear that this was a sort of quite a rollout. So obviously we get from April, it's 15 hours for 2-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And then from September, it's 15 hours for 9 months and above.
Yeah.
And then it's rolled out the following year to extend that to 30 hours for children. So it's done in stages. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it's an amazing thing and it will help people wanting to go to work, support them. And we really welcome the fact that the government is recognising how important the first 5 years are for children in early years in terms of their education and care. But it needs to be really clear what it does cover and what it doesn't cover.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into what you were saying earlier about the funding gap.
Yeah.
So what is the funding gap? And is that something that many nurseries will struggle with going forward?
There's been record number of closures in the early years sector over the last 12 months. Many settings are struggling to try and keep up with increasing living wage rises, increasing inflation and costs. We're a sector where we've not had business rates relief. So unlike hospitality, those sanctions haven't been in place for us. And the problem is that the 3- and 4-year funding has been totally underfunded for years. And organisations like the NDNA and the Early Years Alliance have had Freedom of Information Acts passed to show that ministers know there's a massive gap in funding here.
Yeah.
That the funding rates and what they're looking at in terms of 2-year-olds and 9-month-olds, seem like they're more considering ratios and what the real costs are, but that doesn't really go anywhere to look at the fact that in settings in particular, the highest number of children normally that are in it are often 3 and 4 year olds because you tend to have lower numbers of the younger children to start with, and it builds up where you have more children at preschool and above level, and nothing's been done really to look at the 3 and 4 year old rates and to look at whether or not they're actually fit for purpose.
Right, okay. And I know that, so to help parents more, Kids Planet offer something called All Inclusive.
Yeah.
Could you kind of give a bit of more of an explanation about that and what that, the benefits of that?
Yeah, so I'm a mum with 3 daughters. I know how difficult it is getting out of the house even in the morning, particularly with young children and multiple drop-offs and things like that. But obviously as well, one of the things that we wanted to do was to look at how we could make it easier for parents, yeah, and things like nappies, wipes, formula milk for younger children. We decided to include all of those things in our prices, and that was rolled out initially in April last year, and it's extended as nurseries join us, and that's factored in. It's geared really to make it easier for parents, so they have one less thing to think about, but also it enables us to have, it's easier for storage, because obviously if everyone brings in a pack of nappies and you have 30 babies, that's an awful lot of storage. So just practical reasons to support parents, but also trying to make it more affordable as well in terms of what we include.
Yeah, because it saves on average every family £600 per year.
Yeah, which is an awful lot of money.
That's great, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So ratio-wise, what are the new ratio changes? Do we know, and can suppliers meet the demand, do you think?
So the ratio changes that came in September were that you could have toddlers on a 1-to-5 ratio rather than a 1-to-4 ratio. The thing with ratios is obviously they're regulatory guidelines that are set within the UIFS of what we need to work towards. The reality is it's knowing children. Just because, I always liken it a bit to an analogy of, just because the speed limit says it's 70 miles an hour, you always look around and decide, are the road conditions safe and what you would do. So they are there as minimum levels that we have to meet. For us, particularly with toddlers, it may be that as children become older in a toddler room that they are at the point where they're turning nearly 3, that they are ready to be on a 1-to-5 ratio. But in an ideal world where possible, we try and staff children in toddlers on a 1-to-4 ratio, particularly at this time of year where your toddler rooms may have younger children in. But it is about knowing your children. There are ratios are there and have always been set. Like, we have 1-to-3 for babies. We have 1-to-5 now for toddlers. We have 1-to-8 or 1-to-13 where you have a teacher in preschool. But you have to know your children. There are many children that you need to be on a lower ratio than that because you need to make sure that you're supporting their needs or you're supporting the staff's needs in the room. So they've been the changes that came in September. There are changes that are now coming in terms of qualifications from January. And that's about looking at who can be counted in the qualified ratio. And that's for colleagues who are partway through their qualification. So you could deem someone who was working towards a level 3 that you would assess them on as a level 2 to count them in your qualified ratio. I think that seems a sensible move because obviously a level 3 is higher than a level 2. So it seems a sensible call to make. Again, though, every colleague is an individual colleague, and you take that view on them. I think the other things as well that are coming in from January is looking at mathematics. One of the things that's been a barrier for lots of colleagues in the early years has been passing the equivalent of maths GCSE, grade C. And actually, when you look at it, what is quite frightening is the percentage of people who actually do pass maths is really low in this country. And for a lot of people, it's something that's really off-putting having to do, particularly as they're older. And I think, obviously, removing the fact that you have, like, obviously, there is a need for mathematics, of course there is, but in early years, it's shapes, it's counting, it's all the things that are really relevant. I have maths GCSE. I did mine many, many years ago, but I'm not sure when I last used trigonometry on a day-to-day basis or Pythagoras' theory. I think it's about being sensible about what colleagues really need to know in terms of mathematics. And so I welcome the fact that that will be removing a barrier as to why some people aren't able to be recognised as having passed their level three. I think that is important. But I think there's a lot more that needs to be done. Unfortunately, our sector is really struggling recruitment-wise in many areas. Mm. And people have left early years because of some of the qualifications issues with GCSEs that are historical, going back as early as 2018, because of things like Brexit, because of things like COVID.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what we've seen in many colleges is a decline in the number of courses that are being offered, and actually a decline in the recommendation to look at early years as a profession. So that is part of a problem that's almost been a bit like the perfect storm with some of the other factors that I've talked about in terms of recruitment. So I think there are more things that need to be done to look at how we can get more people into early years, and to look at how we can remove some of the barriers. If you have a certain qualification, you don't always have to go and start from scratch again. You can do a conversion. To me, that would make perfect sense. Why is it that someone who has a level three in either health and social care or other equivalent qualifications can't have some route that means that they can get through a pathway faster?
Yeah, I know. Well, how do you think that Kids Planet then are kind of addressing and tackling the current workforce crisis, if you like, in early years?
So part of my role is I engage a lot with the DfE, government and Ofsted. So it's good to be able to be part of the discussions and talk about workforce strategies and how we move forward. But for us as a company, one of the things that obviously we have to do is make sure that we pay our colleagues competitively. Mm-hmm. But the other thing we did during 2022 was we did a whole review of our benefits package for our team. And we went out and consulted with people to try and find out what were the most important key things for them. And the key things that really came back were looking at increasing that benefits package. And in particular, things we've done is increased annual leave entitlement, increased early years discounts for colleagues. We've introduced enhanced maternity leave, paternity leave, adoption leave, and many other things. We've looked at ways to remove barriers for colleagues who've been off on maternity leave and how we can support them in that transition returning to work. So I think it's trying to find ways that mean that people who want to and are really keen to work are able to, and you're offering them package as well as salary, which meets their demands. I think obviously as well, the funding that we're talking about, that will help colleagues also, because that will support many who return, certainly after maternity leave. And it might be that it supports colleagues who've left the earlier sector that want to come back with children of their own as well.
Yeah, and they've got lots of nice success stories of progression within our own company due to our own training academy as well, which I think is great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely. So the next question is about maintaining kind of quality when these new changes come in. A couple of parents had some concerns about how Kids Planet would maintain quality within the nurseries once the changes are rolled out. What would you say to kind of put their mind at ease?
So you mean how would we maintain our quality with the funding being rolled out for younger children?
Yeah, just within the nurseries, if there's if we need more staff or there are too many children or that kind of thing.
Well, I suppose for us, we'll only have places available for children where we've got the staff to make that possible.
Yeah,
it's really difficult as a provider at the moment to know what the increased demand is really going to be.
Yeah.
And until these things are rolled out, because you don't know whether or not there will be more. You assume there would be more people looking to return to work with 9 month and above children once obviously 30 hours is rolled out, because that's obviously a more meaningful amount that will go towards their early years care. But I'm not sure that we'll see queues of people suddenly arriving in April with the 15 hours 2 year funded, because probably what we would expect is that most of those children are already in our settings.
Yeah.
If someone decides to return to work because of 15 hours funding coming, yeah, obviously that's something we'll need to look at. Mm. But it's really difficult at the moment, because it is quite far off, even September 25, to see what really is going to happen in practice. Obviously there's a lot that can be done from a workforce strategy point of view between now and then. We've got just short of 2 years, which obviously for colleagues even joining the sector now as unqualified or apprentices, there's enough time for those colleagues to become level three qualified. And that's one of the benefits that you touched on before, that having our own academy enables us to home grow our own talent and enable people to join us, and not only to have full-time employment or part-time employment, but to actually learn whilst they're learning with us. And so I think obviously that's something that we will continue to support, but that's something we've been doing already for the last 5 years. Mm. In terms of the funding being rolled out, I don't see that will have an impact on quality, because I think it's all about you can only offer places to children where you have the staff in order to be able to accommodate that. Yeah. I think we've been asking our parents just recently to try and get a view from them, so we can start to predict some of this, to ask, will the funding changes change their booking patterns?
Yeah.
Because actually those indications may enable us to see what may happen over the next 2 to 3 years. I think one of the things we've seen, certainly I first worked in early years, just short of 30 years ago. And at that point, there were a lot of children who were full time. And over the years, certainly in the last 15 and a half years with Kids Planet, the average number of sessions that a family decided to do has decreased. But I think one of the things as well is obviously people often use a blend of early years settings and also grandparents looking after children. Mm. What we may see is that the actual demand that parents access within a nursery increases. And obviously that's something that we're trying to, by asking parents some of these questions, predict, because we don't want to disappoint families either who are already with us. So it's almost like if people are sat there thinking, oh, I currently might do 5 sessions and I might do 6, let us know that, because obviously we can book those sessions in. But it will be really about being organised and trying to sort of get that communication from parents. But the problem is because these things are quite far off still, it's difficult to see how it will really change. Obviously, we'll need to be adapting as it does on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, understandable, yeah. Great. Well, just to summarise, so for new parents that maybe are new to this, how is best to start the process of applying for funded childcare?
So my understanding is that the local authorities and the DfE websites will be open from the beginning of January, and parents need to fill in and they get a code which enables them to access the funding. So for new parents, it's about doing that. We will send reminders at Kids Planet to all our families to do that. We've already sent some reminders out, but it's obviously to start doing that. We're all early years providers are experienced in doing this with their 3- and 4-year-old parents. So it will be that for people who are in our setting already, we can support them with that. I think where it will become more difficult and the onus will be more on the parent is as it is extended out to the 9-month-old, because those families may not already have signed up to an issue. If they've signed up to us, we will be reminding them and giving them sort of guidance on how to do that.
Yeah.
But it's obviously parents need to look at what they're eligible for, because it depends how much you earn as well, whether or not you're eligible. So I think we will do our best to support parents. The DfE are sending out things now. Local authorities are starting to share things with parents. And in time, it will become the norm and everyone will end up knowing just what to do because everyone does it. But it's always a challenge when new things are introduced that you sort of have to work with different parties in order to find the best way through.
Yeah, definitely. You touched on eligibility. What does that tend to be based on? And is there also a recommended time to apply?
So eligibility depends on what parents' incomes are. And there's a lot on the government website which tells you what the criteria is for that. Eligibility as well is based on whether or not you work or you're not working. So I suppose it's for parents to look at that on the government's website. But in terms of timing, you should be applying for anyone who's eligible for funding from April. My recommendation would be to do it as quickly as it's available and open in January. Though sometimes when there's a big surge in these things, computer systems don't always correspond that well. But you have to apply in advance of the term. That's the thing. And we need those codes from the parents in order to make sure we can apply them to our bills for them. So it's trying to be as organised as possible and providing that information, really. And the same will be as it's rolled out in September to 9 months and above. Now, for anyone who's due to start with us that's eligible, we'll be reminding them. But the difficulty is, obviously, many of those children currently are tiny babies, probably, or possibly not even born yet. Yeah. So it's almost, I think it's one of these things where parents will end up, we will start to communicate that on show rounds with people as they look round as well, so that parents feel that they know and a signpost with what they need to do in advance.
Yeah, so it's all still to come, but organisation is totally.
And I sit on many forums with other early years providers and with the DfE, so we are working closely with them to work out the best way to do these things as well.
Brilliant, sounds good. So as a final word, why do you think people should choose Kids Planet as their provider?
For me and for us as an organisation, it's not changed from what our values were in September 2008 when we started. It's all about us really focusing on the care elements within our organisation. And it's really looking to make sure for us that we're delivering that really high quality childcare for all the children that come to us. We provide over and above what the minimum guidelines are that children are accessing in terms of funding. And I think for parents, the most important thing is you go and look around settings, you see what they're all about, you see the magic, you see the awe and wonder, and you find a setting that works well for you in terms of your own convenience, but also you feel that really warm feeling with. I know when I look around nurseries many years ago before Kids Planet, that is something you have to do, and you know when you go into a setting why it's the right one for you. And I think that's what people will see in our nurseries when they go and look.
That's brilliant. Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much, Claire, for coming on. You've been a fountain of knowledge on all things funded childcare, and we've answered a lot of questions actually from our parents, which is great. So join us again next time for another episode of All Things Early Years.
Thanks for joining us and to our guest today. Tune in next month, and in the meantime, pop over to our website and follow us on social media.
Kids Planet, working together to inspire your world.